This is week four of a series that we are that we're doing about Jesus, and I think I'm going to get one of these others. I don't want to end up on YouTube. It's shorter, but I feel a little better. When Jesus was on earth, he was a great teacher. He was the best teacher who ever lived. And he wanted people then, like he wants people now, like he wants us, to understand more about who he was. And so one of the ways that he did that is he used a phrase, a sentence, and the sentence is, I am. I am. And that phrase helps us understand who he was. He said, I am, in one big way. There was a big meeting with the Pharisees, and he said, I am, in a big way, and then seven more ways to kind of explain what he meant. Now, if you remember back in week one, we saw that phrase show up, I am, way back in Exodus 3, second book of the Bible, when one of the greatest, probably the greatest character in the Old Testament, Moses, was on a mountain and he heard the Lord speak through a burning bush. And that's how God revealed himself to Moses. He said that phrase to Moses, I am, and it became a very important phrase in Israel's history. All of the religious leaders knew what it meant. It is someone identifying themselves and claiming to be none other than the Lord God. If you said, I am, that's what that meant. So when Jesus said that to the religious leaders, I am, that meant something. And to be quite honest, they didn't like what it meant. Now, there were people who did like what it meant. And for those people, those who wanted to receive him and learn more about him, Jesus used the phrase seven more times. And he didn't just stop with I am. He went on and finished it. I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. And he used those types of things to help us understand in a multifaceted way who he was. So tonight is the fourth time that Jesus is going to say it. In week one, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And we saw that that probably means that we need Jesus every day, just like our necessary food, our basic, essential food, that's how we need Jesus. In week two, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And to me, that means that Jesus can bring light and hope and direction to some of those dark areas of our life, and they're different for everyone. But whatever they are, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He said in that very verse that he does not want us to live in darkness. Last week in week three, Jesus says, I am the door. And we saw that Jesus is the only way into God's family. He is the door into God's family, and for he's the way for us to have a relationship with God. So this week, we're going to see that Jesus is the good shepherd, and it's in the same chapter as the chapter where he said he was the door. Now, if you remember last week in John 10, that's where Jesus gives a sermon or a lesson on sheep. Pretty much the entire chapter of John 10 is about sheep. And in that message, Jesus said he's the good shepherd. He says it twice. Let's take a look. John 10, verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. There it is once. And then now look at verse 14. He says, I am the good shepherd. So in this one, he says it twice. He really wants us to know that about him. He wants us to know that he is the good shepherd. Now, what does that mean? Well, most of us aren't really exposed to sheep as much as we are probably cows and horses and pigs. Maybe some of you raise sheep or goats or some of the other animals. But where I'm from, well, we didn't have many sheep. And so I had to really look and see what that meant. This is the fourth week of the series. And the other three, I would really, before I would come up on stage, I would really try and look at what that meant. So when I knew I was going to come up and teach about light, I really studied what light was because I wanted to do a good job explaining what I thought that meant. When Jesus said he is the light of the world, I wanted to do a good job. So I would look at other time light shows up in the Bible. I would look at the science books and look at old notes. I'd look at the internet because I wanted to get up here and do a good job and talk about light. Or when he says about bread, I wanted to really, really do a good job and let you know what I think he meant. But this one is different when he talks about sheep. Because what he does in John 10, when he says, I am the good shepherd, he gives an entire sermon on what that means. I didn't really have to do a lot of research because he makes the points here in John 10. I think he gives us three things that means right here in this chapter. He tells them what that means. So if you were here or back then or you're here tonight and you're thinking, I wonder what that means, that when what do we learn about Jesus when he says that he is the good shepherd? I wonder what that means. Well, he'll tell us. He'll give us three pretty strong points about what he wants us to know about that. So we don't have to wonder, did Mike get it right tonight? Amen? You get to hear right from Jesus what that means when he says he is the good shepherd. Jesus takes us through a few verses and lets us know exactly what it means. He shows us exactly what he's thinking. Exactly what he wants them to know when he says, I am the good shepherd. So, when you hear a great passage like Sherry read in the 23rd Psalm, when you hear the great songs that Lori and Paige and the entire band song about he leadeth me, or the song that Lori just sang about the shepherd, it can remind you of John 10 and these three things that Jesus taught us tonight about what it means that he is a good shepherd. Okay, let's look at the first one. Let's look back at John 10, verse 11. He says, I am the good shepherd. And the first thing he wants us to know is the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. That's the first thing. Jesus wants us to know he's the good shepherd. And what does it mean to be a good shepherd? The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Jesus wants us to know he gave his life for us. He gave everything he had. He gave his life. He emptied himself and gave his life for us. He wants us to know that he willingly, it wasn't taken or ripped from him. He willingly laid down his life for us. Let's look at a couple verses, both in Galatians. Galatians 1, verse 4. Paul's writing about Jesus and said, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. He gave himself. That's what the good shepherd does. He gives his life to the sheep. Another verse in Galatians, chapter 2 and verse 20. He says, I'm crucified with Christ. This is Paul saying this. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, that's Jesus, who loved me and gave himself for me. So when Paul talks about what Jesus is, who he is, what he did, what he means to Paul, Paul says, I got to say this, he loved me and he gave himself for me. That goes back to what Jesus said, the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. So that's what I want you to remember. He willingly gave his life for us. Let's look at the next one. Back to John 10, verse 14. This is Jesus continuing this message about sheep, and he tells us exactly what he means. I'm the good shepherd. Here's the second thing it means. And know my sheep, and am known of mine. So he's saying, here's what it means to be a good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. So he wants us to know that being a good shepherd means there is a relationship. We know each other. There's an intimacy we have with Jesus. He's the good shepherd. Jesus says he's the good shepherd. He knows us. He's interested in us. He knows everything about us. He knows all the good and bad and ugly things, the things we may try to hide from each other. He knows those things. He isn't bored with all of the details of our life. He isn't disgusted by all of our drama. He knows us, and he still loves us. You know, there's another story in the Bible about a shepherd who had 100 sheep, and one of them got lost. Don't know how, took a wrong turn or something, but that sheep got lost. And the good shepherd who had 100 sheep stopped everything and went on a search for that one sheep. See, he knew his flock. He knew that one of them had gone missing. And that one sheep meant so much to the shepherd, he put the others in a holding pattern. They had each other. And he left and went to find that other sheep to bring that sheep back into the fold. He didn't get mad at the sheep. He didn't say, it serves you right. How'd that feel? Didn't do that. He went and lovingly rescued that one sheep and brought that sheep back where that sheep belonged. You feel far from God tonight? Do you feel like God is distant? I want you to know that Jesus loves you. He's the good shepherd. He wants you back in the fold. He wants you in the fold. He wants a great relationship with you because he is the good shepherd. Don't ever think that he's given up on you. Don't ever think that he doesn't want you in the family. He does. A main takeaway of that story is God loves you. And he is going on an all-out search for you because he loves you that much. He's the good shepherd. Let's look at the last one tonight. What does it mean that Jesus is the good shepherd? Let's go back to John 10. Now, this is a little bit later in his message, but he's going to tell us exactly what it means. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Okay, so that's a longer passage, and it's saying that once you are part of that flock, once you are in the family, nobody is able to take you away from Jesus. You are safe. You are secure. You are permanently in the family, and there's nobody able to take you away from Jesus. Jesus says, "My sheep are secure. They are mine. My Father," he says, "is greater than anyone, and no one is able to take them away from me." So people, he says, are like sheep, and I give them eternal life. Nobody can take that away. That's what it means when Jesus says that he is the good shepherd. Jesus is saying that the sheep, his sheep, are eternally, forever safe and secure. Nobody can take that away. You think about your past tonight. Think about things that maybe you wish you'd never done. Or maybe when I asked earlier, do you feel far from the Lord? Maybe you think you've made a decision that's taken you far from the Lord. Our past does have to be dealt with. It has to be, our sins have to be forgiven. It doesn't go away, and you can't just sweep it under the carpet. You can't take the ways that I've disobeyed God or that I have gone against God's word. They can't just be swept under the carpet. God is too perfect and holy to allow that. He's too righteous. He can't, because I have sinned, I'm not like God. And so that's why my relationship with God was broken, because of my sin. But God loved us so very, very much that he made a plan. And it's a plan where God would get full payment for everything in our past. And that plan is where we wouldn't have to pay for our past on our own. If you have regrets, if you have sin, and who doesn't? The Bible says we all have sinned. Paul has written chapter after chapter where if we admit that and confess that and accept the good shepherd's payment for our sin, nothing but the blood, if we accept that for payment for our sin, God will look at that and accept that payment for our sin. Isn't that amazing? Amen. We don't have to keep acknowledging it or messing around and not being able to forget ourselves. We're able to let that go because of what the Good Shepherd did for us. We can trust that God means, he really means what he said, where he will accept Jesus' payment for my sin. He doesn't want us to be paralyzed by our past or waking up wondering if we're in or out of the flock. He says, once you're in, you're forever, eternally secure, and that's what it means to be the good shepherd. He keeps us safe and secure. One more verse tonight, Psalm 103. It says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. That's a comforting verse, because that God has taken our sin and has taken it as far away as the east is from the west. They never meet. In God's mind, confess it, and he deals with it. I used to think that some of my sins were too bad to be forgiven or to be confessed. But I've learned I can't surprise God. He knows everything anyway. He just wants me to talk to him and confess what I've done, and he accepts Jesus' payment for my sin. What does it mean to be the good shepherd? It means, first of all, that he wants to know us. It means that he has laid down his life for us, and when Jesus said he's the good shepherd, it means that he keeps us safe. Amen. Father, thank you for the good shepherd. Thank you for this clear message. Lord, we love you. Thank you for the good teachings in Scripture and the clear way you lay it out for us, and for being the good shepherd. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we'll see you next time. We'll do a couple more of these in this series, and we'll see you next time at the Esquire.